So this is part two of the lessons I learned while hanging out with Alex and Layla down in Vegas. So this was right after the Future Flipper event, and we hung out with them and got to be backstage and just be able to go to dinner with them. And man, just be around them is like, it's so fun. It's so encouraging. And I just felt like I needed to share the wisdom and that experience with you guys. So if you want to hear my thoughts and my stories about my experience hanging out with Alex and Layla, then this is what this episode's about. This was pulled from a live Zoom I did with some real estate investors and some business owners. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettis.
So I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned in there, but one of the big things is like work for free, right? If you see somebody who like you truly believe in, again, like this 2017, now everybody knows who Alex is. It's funny. In the last like 6 months, people know who Alex is. Even a year ago, people didn't know who Alex was. But like I recognize something special in Alex. And I was like, dude, like I got to make sure that I continue to provide value to this guy. And even when we kind of got out of gym launch in like 2020, 2021 was when we kind of stopped actually utilizing the actual program. Like I still stay in contact with Alex, continue to find ways to provide value. And so now literally like, there's no exchange of money. There's no exchange of anything. It's just, we've always found a way to continue to show up and provide value to him. And so that's how we were able to spend last week. We spent Monday night with them and then Tuesday night with them. And so I want to share a couple of the things that we learned from Alex and Layla at dinner. And first off, before like I share anything, like the people who in here who know Alex and Layla, there's definitely a few people in here who had interactions who do actually know them on a personal level. Like they're like one of the most genuine people on the planet, right? They really are. They're super humble and they have great mindsets and they work their asses off. Like they work their asses off. And so I just have so much respect for them. From outside of business, just as human beings, I just have a lot of respect for them just in general. So the fact that they are like amazing at business and they have found ways to provide value in excess of what most people in the marketplace can, that's just a bonus, right? So were any of you guys at the Future Flipper event on Tuesday? Was anybody there? Anybody there? No. So speeches or the speech that Alex gave was about leverage, right? And so speech about leverage was, it was so good, but basically I'll summarize it here, right? And so like, what is leverage? Leverage is like the difference between what you put in versus what you get out, right? And so a lot of times, how many of you guys in here have ever said like, I'm the hardest worker in the room. Like I work my ass off and no one works harder than me. Like I'm a hustler. Have any of you guys ever said that? Has that been you guys? Right? Yeah. I mean, I guarantee, how many people are in here right now? 38 people. I guarantee every single person on some level has said that at one time and another, right? Because the reality is that actually gets you from zero to one, right? From not having anything to creating a business, everyone in here has a business, right? I think, or at least you're in the process of creating a business or thinking about creating a business at least. Like the thing that's going to get you from zero to one is that. It's hustle hard. It's put work in. It's do the things that most people aren't willing to do. And so that'll get you from zero to one. But the thing that's going to get you from one to two is actually the opposite, right? It's getting leverage. So instead of you putting the work in, it's who do I need to find who can put the work in, right? And it goes back to that salesperson analogy of when Alex was first doing it, he was like, he had a little bit of leverage because he could go from one to many, right? From the Zoom calls, but eventually that became not a good use of his time. So, you know, he's like, who's somebody who could actually take this over from me? And he's like, Logan, you're the one who can take this over from me, right? So now, do you guys think that I provided as much value as Alex did on those daily calls? Of course not, right? Like there's no way. But did I provide enough value that it made sense for him to hand it off to me so that he could go do other things, right? So that's kind of how it works. So maybe he got 70%, like maybe the rest of the gym owners got 70% of the value versus if Alex was there, right? But the 70%, like, was that enough to keep people coming back for more? Right? So it was a fair trade-off. And so same thing with sales. Like, he did the sales in the beginning too. And then eventually he's like, I can't keep doing the sales. And that's why he hired a couple other people and then eventually hired me. And then at the end of it, like, Alex was a really good salesperson because why? Adam said it earlier. He was convicted, right? He was so convicted. And so when he had 600 salespeople, like, were any of us as convicted as he was? No, right? Like, I was probably the most convicted because I was the only gym owner who had gone through the program and got the result. But even I was still probably maybe 85%, let's just say. And let's say the rest of everybody else was 80%, right? But was that enough? At six people, let's just combine it to say it was 77% of what Alex could do. Is that still better than Alex's 100%? Does that make sense? So leverage is one of the most powerful things you can do. And I think when you understand that as a business owner, because you guys are all either business owners or going to be business owners, eventually, like, that's the game of business. That is the power of business, is that you get to use leverage. You get to use other people for their skill sets, and you get to allow them the opportunities to gain those skills and to do what you did and you got so good at. You're able to teach a skill to somebody else and then let them be the ones who are able to serve the clients, right? Have them be able to touch those prospects and turn them into clients. Like, that's actually really powerful. Like, that's really fun about doing sales. You get to take somebody who's not a client into a client, and it's one of the most powerful things you can ever do. And so that was one of the big nuggets I got from Alex and Layla, is leverage, right? And so if you guys want to know what Alex does on a daily basis, we look at him and you're like, man, like, that's a boring day. He doesn't do much, right? Because he's got a lot of leverage. He's got a lot of people in place. And so people is one of your very first forms of leverage. The second form of leverage, especially in your business, is automations and systems and processes, right? And so those are things that either you create or you have your team create, but combination of the two is, like, when you have a, here is what the end result supposed to look like, and you have a step-by-step process on how to get there, it's leverage, right? And so right now in your business, again, if you're the only one in your business, the greatest time to start creating processes, systems, and automations is when you're the one doing it, right? Have any of you guys read the E-Myth book by Marco Gerber? It's like a classic, right? If you guys read that, put in the chat if you guys have read that book. Michael Gerber's The E-Myth. Okay. It's an amazing book, right? That book changed the way I thought about my business. That was in 2016 when I read that book. And I was literally, like, if you guys read the book, it's Sarah, and she owns All About Pies, which is a pie shop, right? I was Sarah, right? I was the one who showed up. I opened the doors at 5 a.m. I trained clients from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. or excuse me, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then I would go home, eat lunch. I would take a quick nap, and I'd go back to the gym. I'd lift from like 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And then from about 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night, I would train again. And I would do that every single day. I was on this hamster wheel. Like, how can I, like, I gotta figure this out. And that book was the one that helped me understand that putting people in place and putting system automations in place would free me to actually work on my business rather than in my business, right? One of the most powerful books that I read in my journey. Again, they're just me at that moment in my life. Not saying that's where you're at, but systems and automations are the next form of leverage that you can do to actually create a business that you're not stuck in. That no matter, like, if something happens, that you're able to take a day off, you're able to take a vacation, you're able to do things because you have system processes in place that allow you to be able to do things outside of just running a business. So those are one of the biggest things I learned from Alex from that speech, which is getting leverage, right? And that was the example that he used, was hiring one salesperson versus six salespeople. And you guys can take that in your business, and whether it's, you know, whether it's an admin, whether it's if you're doing marketing, and like a lot of you guys are doing marketing for real estate, and you're looking for like motivated sellers, like that's the value of hiring a VA to go out there and try to call as many people as you possibly can. And you're only talking to warm leads, right? And so again, the evolution of that would be get a VA, have them generate 3 to 4 leads every single day, and then you're talking to just the warm leads. Okay. Eventually the next form of leverage would be maybe you hire somebody to just talk to the warm leads. And then all of a sudden, all you're doing is you're managing a team. You're just making sure the VAs are making the amount of calls they need to make. You're managing the salesperson, like your sales acquisition manager, on just making sure that he's converting these warm leads into contracts. And then maybe you're doing the TC work. Maybe you're the one who's managing the contract all the way through closing. Maybe eventually you hire a transaction coordinator like Jennifer Montoya that's on here, and she takes care of that off your plate as well, right? So either you bring it in-house or you can hire a third party. There's lots of ways to do it. But ultimately, that's a form of leverage, right? And all of a sudden, that's how you see these guys who are doing $100,000 months, plus they're not doing it because they're the ones who are cold calling. They're not the ones, they're not the ones on the actual calls, right? You guys don't hear, like, the only reason Pace gets on sales calls is honestly to provide value to his community. Like, if it wasn't for the community, he would never be on sales calls. Like, full transparency, he would never be on sales calls. He just does it to provide value to you guys. So again, reason why Pace, another mentor, is one of the greatest mentors and go givers, is because he's willing to do things for the people, for the community, even if it actually hurts his business a little bit. Leverage, that's one of the big things. So if you guys are in a business, leverage is one of the biggest things. Okay. Another thing, right? So keep in mind, this advice is from Alex. It's not for me. And so just understand that when he says, think about it from somebody who literally has a $100 million net worth, right? It's a lot, right? This company, I think acquisition.com is on pace to do $100 million in revenue this year, which is pretty nutty. So like the advice that they're giving now versus what they were giving even 5 years ago is just it's so funny, because it's even more basic today. So a lot of times we want to get complicated, but we need to just do the basic stuff over and over again until we get bored. And then, you know, we need to do after that, continue the boring stuff, continue the basics again and again. Right. So, here's another cool nugget I got from Alex, right? This was from Layla. I can't remember when it was from, but here's what she told me. And I wrote this one down. Literally, it was our first night of dinner, and they're like, all the riches are on the other side of a few direct conversations, right? All the riches are on the other side of just a few direct conversations. And so how I took that was that your ability to communicate with your team, your ability to communicate with yourself, your ability to communicate with the people who are close to you, whether they're in your business or just in your personal life, is what will allow you the environment for you to grow your business and just to grow as a human being, right? So this can start with your conversation that you have with your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, maybe somebody who you live with, maybe the people around you. And then from there, it continues to go into your team. So do you have employees? Do you have staff members? Do you have managers? And a lot of times, here it's so funny because my wife Katie, who you guys may or may not know, she runs a business with me, right? She's actually the one who runs the business. I'm over here. We basically call me the board, right? I'm the board, and I basically give my advice, but I'm not in the day-to-day operations of our businesses. And so I'm actually able to make logical decisions where sometimes she gets emotional, right? But she's like, I'm having this problem with somebody, right? She's like, what should I say? She's like, this is what happened, yada, 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 and yada, yada. And I was like, why don't you just tell them that? Just tell them the truth. Tell them how you're feeling. And it's funny because she goes and she does, and she's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for that advice, right? And so so tactically, a lot of it's just telling somebody your actual feelings and what you feel. But the hard part is going through and actually just committing to that conversation, going and putting it down and doing it as quickly as you possibly can, going and having that direct conversation. Because you surprise, whether it's a marriage, whether it's have you guys ever had a relationship, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a friend, maybe it's been a teammate, where it started out really, really good? Most of them do, right? And it just slowly soured to a point where you don't even talk to that person anymore. How many of you guys have those type of people in your lives that you had a really good relationship with someone at one time, and now you don't even talk to them anymore? You guys ever had those kind of, I think most people have, right? I definitely have. And it really, and the thing that blew it up, if you guys can really think about it, what was the thing that really blew that conversation up, or that blew that relationship? Was it something really, really bad? Sometimes it might be, right? Maybe you had a spouse who cheated on me. Maybe you had an employee who stole from you. Like, there's definitely situations like that. But I want you to think of somebody who, there wasn't really like a big event that occurred where you stopped talking to that person. It just was slowly over time where it's like, man, I really don't want to be around this person anymore. Like, it didn't end at that moment. It ended way before over here when you just let that one thing go. All of a sudden there was an incongruency from what you expected versus what they did or what they said. And you just let it go. And then there was another thing and you just let it go and you never addressed it. And so when you're able to address those things, especially people are important to you, like people on your team should be important to you. Your spouse should be important to you. And so the most important thing you can do is address those things. Like, you know what, Kitty, like, I'm sure you didn't mean it that way, but I kind of felt offended when you said that to me. I kind of felt like you were digging at me. I kind of felt like you're kind of being an asshole. Right? Like, and I'm just like, I'm literally just saying this because like, I'm feeling this way. I don't think you're doing it intentionally. I don't think, but like, tell me like why you said that. Right. And that's like one of the greatest skill sets you can do is when something bothers you about something who's important to you, like you address it. It's on you to address it, not them. Right. 99 times out of 100, they don't even know that they're pissing you off. I promise you, they don't know. They don't know. They can't read your mind. And so if you can take responsibility for that, and if you do have a situation with somebody that you're going to want to blame them, I promise you, like there's people right here that you're blaming that they're the asshole. They're the person who's not communicating. They're the one who's in the wrong, right? Always. And I tell you guys this because I am that person sometimes. So this is where I take my own advice, right? As soon as I realize that I'm pointing the finger at Katie, I'm pointing the finger at my kids, I'm pointing the finger at someone on the team, I'm like, oh wait, where can I take back this control and put it on myself. Like, you know what? I need to have a conversation with them because 9 times out of 10, they don't even know. And so I'm like, hey, you know, you said this or you've been doing this. And again, I actually like truly believe this. Like, I don't think you're doing it intentionally, but I just want to tell you like how I'm feeling right now. And like, here's how I'm taking it. So I just want to give you an opportunity to kind of tell your side. And then like, yeah, you know what? I felt that same thing and yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden we're having a communication. And then we come to the same side of the table rather than being on the opposite side and trying to like, who's right? Who's right? Who cares? Me and Katie have this saying that anytime we're getting in situations, like it's one of the reminders that we have is I'd rather be on the right team than be right. Right? And so that was one of the big nuggets that I took from Knox and Layla, just like all the riches are on the other side of a few direct conversations. And when you can actually take that to heart, it's like, it's so life-changing. It's such a game changer, right? It's one of the most powerful things that I took from them. Another thing, again, this one, I'll give you guys a bonus here. I told you I was going to give you two, but I'll give you all the things I wrote down. How about that? You guys cool with that? If I just share with all the things I wrote down, I was going to give you guys two, but I'll just share all of them. Some of them are going to pertain to you. Some of them are not going to, but you guys cool with that? Let me see in the chat. You guys cool? Yeah. All right. So here's another cool thing I wrote down. And this is something is that he's actually said before, but sometimes we just need to hear it over and over again before it actually sinks in. Maybe you guys hear it from me and maybe it makes more sense coming from me. Maybe it just makes sense in this moment, but one of the quotes that Alex said is like ordinary business done for extraordinary amounts of time equals extraordinary returns. Ordinary business done for an extraordinary amount of time equals extraordinary returns. Right. So that's just a fancy way, a different way of saying like doing the boring work, being consistent day in, day out. So if you have something that works, if you know that you need to make 10 phone calls in order to get one prospect on a call, and you know that out of that one prospect you close 50%, which means that for every 10 phone calls you make, there's a 50% chance you have a close. Like, how many phone calls are you going to make, right? And so you just back the number up. If let's say you want to do 5 phone calls, you want to get 5 closes every single week, right? So we take that, let's do some math here. So let's say we have 5 times 2 times 10. So if we get on 100 phone calls and we have 10% of those people who actually get on calls and 50% of those actually close, that means all you gotta do is get on 100 phone calls, we get 5 sales. Okay. Let's say that your average price point that you're selling, your product is, your services, let's just call it $5,000. So that means that if you make 100 phone calls, you make $25,000. If you guys knew that that's like those were your numbers, like how many phone calls would you make? Right. And that's ironically, that was another thing that I learned from Alex a long time ago. And so anytime Alex was asking us about our numbers in our business, like, do you guys think I knew my numbers? Do you guys think I track my numbers? Right. And so it was cool. It was cool because like, obviously I knew the dinner was coming. So like, I was prepared. I went through my numbers. I was trying to memorize as many numbers as I possibly can. So he asked me, hey, like, what's your cost to acquire a customer? What is your, what's your lifetime value of your customer? Like what's your average ticket? Like all these questions, like what's the lifetime value of your staff members? Like, it was cool because I was able to give him those numbers. And it's because I was able to give you those numbers, he was quickly able to give me like actual tactical advice, which again, like for you guys, I said there's 1% here who's got a cleaning company, but for the other, you know, 34 people in here, it's not going to apply to you. So it doesn't matter. Right. But the important is just always be prepared because you never know who's going to ask your numbers. You know, times people, when it comes to real estate deals, will ask me like, hey, like I have this deal. Okay, cool. Tell me the numbers. And then I never hear the numbers, or they give me, it's in Dallas, Texas. And you know, it's a good deal. What are the numbers? So again, ordinary business done for a short amount of time equals extraordinary returns. And the first step of that is just knowing your numbers. So know your numbers, right? Couple things. Oh, define learning. This one was really good. This one I really like. So this one you guys will probably really like as well. Does any of you guys know what the definition of learning is? You guys know? Okay. So learning, let me ask you this. So let's use an example. I have a 13-year-old daughter now. She just turned 13 last week, actually when we were in Vegas. And I said, Kobe, you know, going forward, like if you don't go to bed by 10 o'clock every single night, in the morning, you're going to wake up tired, right? And she's like, Pops, I know. Okay. And so we have two examples. The first example where she went to bed after 10 o'clock and she had to get up at 5 a.m. for swim practice. And she woke up very tired, so tired that she was trying to make every excuse in the book not to go. And this is where I told her, I was like, Kobe, if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, you won't be tired when you get up for early morning practice at 5 a.m. She's like, Pops, I know. Okay. So do you guys think that she learned anything from that example? Well, it depends. We need to know what happens when she gets into that same circumstance, that same situation next time. So Friday comes along. That was on a Wednesday. On Friday comes along, she got underwear practice again. She goes to bed after 10 o'clock. She gets up tired again. Did she learn anything from that situation? From our conversation, did she learn anything? No, she didn't learn anything. The reason why she didn't learn anything is because she still acted the same, right? So if we define learning is same condition, different behavior. Okay, same condition, different behavior. So anytime somebody says that, yes, I learned from the situation, but they do the exact same thing, did they actually learn? Okay. And so that was, to me, was like really, man, like, especially for parenting, by the way, like I know a lot of you guys are parents, some of you guys aren't parents, but if you have a team, it's the same thing. Like when someone says that they learned something, I was like, okay, well, you did the same action that you just did previously. It was the same condition. You did the same action. So to me, you didn't learn anything. You just, like your lips are moving, but your body's moving exactly the same way. And so that's actually how you define learning. That was like a big epiphany. I'm not sure if that made sense to you, but I just think sometimes like when you're able to define terms in your head, and again, whether it's with kids, whether it's a team, it's like you did the same behavior in the same condition. So of course you didn't learn anything. To me, that was really powerful. So that was another thing. We talked a little bit about the growth. And he's like, the one thing that I would have done differently with Gym Launch is I would have spent more money into growing the company rather than, as much as we did, as like, just like keeping the profits. Like we were so concerned about the profitability of the company that he's like, yeah, I would have spent more money on the growth. And I actually challenged him on that a little bit. And so I'll tell you what my perspective of that is, and then I'll share with you a little bit about how he meant it for my situation personally. And so when he said that, I was like, Alex, I'm gonna disagree with you. And the reason why is because like the amount of money you guys are making was life-changing money. Like it literally was enough money for you to like to set you for life, that it was actually important for you to be able to do that. So then now when you're doing this next thing, which is acquisition.com, like you can actually do it and not have to get paid a single dollar. You don't need to make money from it because you basically took care of yourself first. And so I think that's actually really important when it comes to everything in life. Like you must take care of your personal needs first to a level where you have even enough, you have so much that you truly live from a place of abundance. Like you never need money again, where you you get out of the scarcity mode that so many people are in. But also understood what he was talking about too, is that when you're able to delay the gratification, you're able to see the bigger picture, you spend more money back into growth, and so you can make this thing bigger. And so I think there's a fine line between when you're a brand new entrepreneur, when you're trying to like take profits, versus when you need to invest back into your business, invest back into yourself. And I think in the beginning, he's actually right. I think you need to spend more money in your growth. So when you're first getting started, you're making a couple $100,000. Let's just say you're making for sure less than $1 million. Like you need to be putting all your profits back into your business, your education, your skill sets, right? And I don't mean like goes buy stupid shit like gym equipment, buy like increase your rent, go buy fancy vacuums, like spend money erroneously, right? Buy cars. But maybe invest it back into your education. Maybe invest it back into the growth of your company by hiring superstar manager, hiring superstar teammates, hiring a nanny, hiring a personal assistant. Like right now, in 10 minutes, we have a nanny interview coming up, right? And so like when you're able to like take that money and make sure you invest it back into people, again, one of the greatest forms of leverage you can possibly do, you will always get like that. You'll always earn an amazing return on that money, right? But at the same time, okay, so this is the other side of it. This is what Alex was talking about, is that you also need to make sure that your business, you're also putting some aside from yourself. Like how I told you guys earlier, like all the money I made from Gym Launch, like I didn't spend a dollar of it. It all went into my investing account, right? And so for every single person, you need to have that understanding of that, like some of the money you make, it needs to go into a place that you're going to allocate it for future investments. It could be real estate. It could be your education. It could be back into your business. But you need to have an account for that. But the majority of your money needs to go back into you, back into your team, into your growth. And so that was another big nugget that he gave me as well, is like spend more money into your growth, right? I wrote down, take your advice. That was one of the things I wrote down. And the last one specifically is for our business. Again, this is not going to maybe to apply to your business, but to hire an actual recruiter. And so Layla's speech at the Future Flipper event was actually really good. And she talked all about hiring, okay, and how to build a team. And so one of the things that was really helpful for me is that as we talked about the acquisition side of a company, like everybody, all entrepreneurs in here, we love talking about acquisition. We love talking about prospecting, we talk about sales, we're talking about numbers and then how we deliver the product. But there's also a mirror funnel, right? We have marketing, sales, fulfillment on the client acquisition side. We have a mirror funnel on the backside for our team, right? So now we have the same thing. We have prospects who come in, we have interviews, and then we have fulfillment of our staff members. Okay. So it's a mirror funnel. And that's what she talked about. And so in our business, specifically our cleaning business, like we're able to generate lots of leads. We have like a 3 or 4 week wait list before we can get a new client onto our calendar. And so our problem in this very moment is not client acquisition. We don't have enough teammates. We don't have enough cleaners to be able to fulfill all these cleaning needs. And so we've been spending more, like we spend more money on Indeed, on ads, than we do on Facebook ads right now, which is crazy. Right? This is the first time I've ever done that. I've ever spent more money on hiring than I have on client acquisition. And she basically was talking about the mirror funnel of like, what is the process for prospecting for employees? How do you nurture them? like the interview process and then the onboarding process and how to systematize all that, very similar to how you would do it for your clients, do the same thing for your staff members. And so specifically for our business, she's like, you need to hire a recruiter, right? And that word is just like, it never, I don't know. For some reason that word just like stuck with me. It's like, oh, recruiter. Like I think about, you know, on the client exercise, it's like a salesperson. Like, you know exactly what a salesperson does. Like I was calling that person on the summer side, I was like calling like staff acquisition or something like that. Right. Just wasn't the right terminology. She's like, you need to hire a recruiter. And I was like, oh yeah. Like that's their full-time job. They're a recruiter. Like that's their job. Their job is to go find employees. Their job is to go find new prospects who are looking for work, get them into our funnel, have them fill out applications. And you know what, if they're not ready right now, you continue to nurture them. You like put them on a text list, give them on an email list and you blast it out just like you would with prospects. I'm like, oh my gosh, so crazy. They're also the one who interviews them. They're also the one who onboards them. They're also the one who does the one-on-one meetings with them and creates the culture with them. It's like, oh my gosh, this recruiter is the person I need, right? And so again, like probably 9 times out of 10, you guys on here, like that's not going to be your problem. But when it does become a problem, just understand that like you have a mirror funnel. So once you have your client acquisition funnel working so well that all of a sudden what becomes your bottleneck is the amount of people who can fulfill your service. Amazing, right? Then you need to do this. You need to do the same thing with staff members. So that was another big nugget that I got from Layla as well, was just hire a recruiter. So those were the few notes I wrote down at dinner. And it was really cool to, after we went to dinner, we went to Froyo, and literally the place we picked out just happened to be, it was like literally like out of chance. Ryan Pineda had a VIP day the previous day, and they had a little dinner, I think. And it happened to be in all of Las Vegas. It happened to be in the same little area where we're eating Froyo. So there was probably three or four people who recognized Alex, and people went straight into fanboy and fangirl mode. That was actually the funniest part, was actually seeing people like get like shaky, nervous, and like want to take pictures and like get nervous around Alex and Layla, because they're famous, right? I guess. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of you guys are like, yeah, they're famous, but to me, they're just Alex and Layla. But it's funny to see how people in the real world, how people respond to them like you would like a movie star. And that happened at the Future Flipper event. We had like an escort at the back door, and I was just like, it was a cool experience. It really was. And like, they're so humble about it. And yeah, they don't let it go to their head. It was pretty cool.
Hey, if you like listening to this audio version of this free Zoom that I did, then definitely go over to my Instagram at Logan Lee Manzanares. Connect with me. I post stories about when I'm doing these free Zooms, and you can be part of this and not just listen to it, or you can do both. So connect with me at Logan Lee Manzanares on Instagram. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want more, go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift. And there, I have the most incredible free gift waiting for you. Do you want to run your business based on logic rather than emotion, based off numbers rather than feelings? Do you want to have a consistent, reliable business that runs based on data? Then go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift.